Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room podcast. This is Ryan Green and Rob Misch, your UNLV beat writers for the Las Vegas Sun. And you, if you're familiar with Rob's music, oh, keep going.
No, that's enough. Hoops is here.
Because this is now, for the next about 6 weeks, a multi-purpose podcast. It is no longer just football. We're bringing basketball into the mix, and we're going to talk basketball first as the UNLV Rebels 2009-2010 season is about ready to officially get going. We're going to talk that. We're going to talk UNLV Utah. For those of you who do still care about football, there are a few, I think, mostly people just fuming about Mike Sanford, but we'll talk that afterwards. But let's give them a replay of the little tune there so they can just...
I'm a Basketball Jones.
You are.
Basketball Jones. You remember that song?
Yeah, I do. And a lot of basketball, a lot of UNLV fans have switched into basketball mode as they did about 2-3 weeks ago.
As they do often every year.
Yeah.
At this
and,
time.
And with good reason this year because, you know, another year, another season full of expectations. And First Look 2009 is Friday night, 9 p.m. at Thomas & Mack Center. The doors open at 8:15. It's an event that's open to the public.
Free event.
Free event. And when they say First Look, it sounds like this year you're really going to get a good look at this team. Obviously, there's the you know scrimmage every year, and there's going to be a dunk contest tomorrow night. I know Coach Kruger confirmed on his Twitter page. Lots to look forward to, and you know the guy that we can't stop talking about going into this is probably the guy everybody's going to want to get the first look at is number 5, Derek Jasper.
Absolutely, we've done our part trying to document the last month or two of pickup ball and everything. All the reports are just that he's dynamic as all heck. So it's going to be a lot of fun for everybody to finally see him tomorrow night. And I think fans are really going to like this event as opposed to last year. Because no offense to cheerleaders or band members or anybody, there's going to be far fewer peripheral introductions and stuff like that.
They're just going to get straight to it.
It's going to be for hardcore hoop fans, and I would imagine the attendance will be much better than last year, and people are going to be much more pleased with what they see.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's start talking about some of the new faces that you're going to be looking at tomorrow night. And then obviously, Derek Jasper's number one there because, you know, what you're going to see tomorrow night when they scrimmage is probably pretty synonymous with what you're going to see the rest of the season when the Rebels are on the floor is that things are going to run through him. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot of the time. Obviously, 6'6" point guard transfer from Kentucky. We've documented, like you said, the last month or so, a pickup ball. We documented his getting healthy last year.
Absolutely.
From the left knee. And, you know, for people who had the chance to – who noticed him last year sitting on the bench or saw him in practice, when they see him this year, you're going to almost look like – I mean, he lost a lot of weight. And, you know, to the point I mean, he is dynamic, but he almost looks a little frail. But there's a lot of explosiveness in there.
There sure is. He's very lean and he's very mean. You know, the biggest advantage to him losing weight, trimming down, cutting some fat
near about 200 right now.
Is that that's going to be much less strain and you know other type of punishment, if you will, on his knee.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
That left knee has got to. You know, that's a tough injury, which we have detailed, you know, like everything else we've detailed with Derek. There's been a lot to really follow. And, you know, the less strain and punishment on that knee, the better, and the better he's going to be for the rest of his life. You know, you documented very well that ice is going to be his best friend for probably the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very delicate procedure to come back from. Amari Stoudemire and others have taken a while to get back.
And there's also guys who haven't.
Exactly.
It's 50-50. You know, Jamal Mashburn never really fully recovered. But
yeah.
You're right. They, you can resume a normal career, but, you know, there are some pitfalls there too.
But such a great advantage to him redshirting when he came here to just really take his time and to let it mend and let it heal. I think it's really going to be a heck of a player we get to see. And you know what? It's pretty special what we get to see the next 2 years. And you know, it starts tomorrow night, and wow, don't know what to say. Finally, we get to see him.
Yeah, and there's going to be some more newcomers around him. A couple others we'll talk about here. Another transfer who has 3 years left with eligibility after sitting out last year is Chase Stanback, 6'8" power forward from UCLA. Doesn't tip the scales at too much. You don't think power forward when you see him, but you know, Lon Kruger has made it pretty clear he's going to play the four position in this offense, but you know the four position in this offense isn't like the four position in a lot of traditional offense.
It's not like numbers. It's not like Kruger
it's
and the rest.
It's just a number. It's just a number.
It is just a number. They don't. You know, the one thing Kruger does not do is pigeonhole players. Yeah. You know, granted, you can say Derek Jasper is going to be a one. The ball's going to be in his hands. He's going to be the point guard. But everything else is just going to be an amalgam of, you know, different combos and different situations. And you know, he has made it quite clear. Hey, you're going to set the tone in practice, whether you're going to start, how many minutes you're going to get. And if that happens to be Derek Jasper and four guards, so be it, you know. We saw at the end of last season, Bryce Masamba trailed off, Darius Santee trailed off. All of a sudden, there's Joe Dagher back at the center. So, you know what, if you don't produce, the pine is going to be your buddy. Mm-hmm. And so that's where pigeonholing of specific – you know, numbers where you fit in. It just doesn't fit this system that well. And you know what? If you show you're gonna produce, you're gonna play.
Yeah, and you know, there's no reason to believe that Chase Stanback won't produce. You know, we've seen that outside touch. He has a feathery touch from 3-point range. Can post up and has some nice moves in between.
Can dribble.
Can dribble. The total package, and he really enjoys rebounding too, which is, I think, you know, I asked him a couple weeks ago what was one thing he thought people would really be caught off guard by was how much he really goes after it on the boards. And I think a lot of that was developed last year when he was just hounded in practice about being tough. And, you know, he mimicked the opposing team's big men in practice,
right,
on the scout team. So I think a lot of that really stuck with him.
You know, last year was invaluable to him. Granted, Derek needed that year to rehab and get in the fold, you know, and get well. So this doesn't discount the importance of last year to Derek. But Chase needed that year to know how to play tough. Mm. That was his biggest hang-up at UCLA. And a year under Kruger's system has taught him to be tough. And the luxury there is he learned how to do it in practice, you know, not in game situations where he might have been exposed. And, you know, he'll tell you that that's the biggest thing he learned. He's going to come with it all now. And it's not just about points. It's about doing all the dirty little things too.
Let's talk about some other newcomers, because the freshman class is going to be seen for the first time by a lot of fans. And I guess who are you really keeping an eye on tomorrow night out of those three?
I think the one player that I'm going to watch probably closest will be Carlos Lopez. Mm-hmm. This team really lacked in rebounding last year. They were really pushed around, and they sorely needed someone to produce on the boards, and nobody did. And I think Carlos Lopez's existence here is really going to push Bryce Masamba, Darius Santee, because guess what? If they don't produce, Carlos will. And Kruger said Wednesday at the media event that he's going to have growing pains. You know, initially he's going to have some freshman woes. He's got a lot to learn. He's got to bulk up a bit. But that kid has some natural talent that those two other guys don't have. He's got great spin moves down low. And you know what's probably most impressive is the fact that he will take the ball either from a pass or on a rebound and take it back up at the rim unflinchingly. That does not exist on this team.
Dunk the ball.
He will dunk it. Yeah, I mean, he goes up to dunk, you know. Yeah. And
that's a killer instinct underneath that they really didn't have last year.
Exactly, not at all. And you know, a couple of them, too, have said that, you know, let's face it, the guys like to put on a show. Fans like to see a show. There's going to be more dunking this year. Mm-hmm. And they all vowed to do that. And we're going to see quite a bit of that tomorrow night, I think, too.
Yeah. And another guy who I think is going to be a part of that, another freshman, Anthony Marshall from Mojave, you know, kind of has gone untalked about for the most part when talking about this team because of the presence of Jasper and Stanback making their debuts this year. But
and there's a few guards.
Yeah, and Anthony Marshall, you know, maybe, you know, behind Wink Adams, probably the highest rated, you know, by recruiting services recruit that UNLV's taken in. And I know recruiting services, you know, cough, BS, Hamga, can, you know, be a little off.
Right.
But this kid, 6'3" from Mojave High, like we said, you know, he's already ready to contribute.
Right.
The body is there, and he's looked like that for 2 years now. And a lot of guys have talked about him, and they've been impressed with him in pickup ball. He's been fearless with the veterans. He hasn't been scared to take it at anybody. You know, at Mojave, he was kind of in a bad situation because he was relied upon to score a ton of points, and he had to maybe look a little selfish at times. But he's going to fit in nicely with this offense, I think, and I think he's going to be fun for people to watch tomorrow.
Well, and speaking of guys who have gotten their bodies in some pretty impressive shape, you know, there's a few people we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. The offseason was really good for guys like Bryce Masamba. Derek's gotten lean and mean. But Oscar Belfield
yeah.
has hit the weights, and
he looks big.
I think he's ready to go from start to finish this season, whereas maybe we saw him trail off a bit last season.
Well, that kind of brings up the next question. Which of the returning guys, because, you know, we haven't talked a lot about the returning guys, which of them do you think there should be maybe the most expectation put on right from go?
You know, I think Trayvon Willis is going to assume a portion of leadership, and deservedly so. I think his shoulder is healing itself. He opted not to have surgery. He battled that a couple times, well, throughout last season, but he had a couple cortisone shots. He's hoping to avoid the cortisone this year. And you know what? He's really an interesting kid. He's got a fire that not a lot of the players had last year. You know, when it came down to it, we did not see a lot of leadership when this team needed it mostly last year. And I'm talking about Joe Darger, Wink Adams, and Rene Rougeau. You know, in the past, those guys were perfect complementary players. We saw them be parts of teams that were played in five NCAA tournament games. Well, they were good compliments, but when it came down to it and they needed the lead, it didn't happen last year.
They weren't the head honchos.
No, and you know, Wink talked about seeing some things he didn't like, and in the future, if he saw him again, he'd talk about it. They happened again, and he did not talk about it. So, you know, they were lacking in the leadership department. This team will not be. That's going to be led by Derek Jasper, and I think Trayvon Willis is going to pitch in right there, and I think they're going to be vital to the team.
Well, speaking of Trayvon Willis, one more thing we want to talk hoops before moving on. The new uniforms, we saw those yesterday, and you know, it's funny because they've gone with these new style of Nike uniforms where you have the tighter form-fitting tops and the baggier shorts, and you know, a lot of the guys, it sounds like, went for the bigger tops. They went a couple sizes too big, so their tops weren't, you know, so tight. Trayvon was the one guy who you know, who Derek Jasper said ordered his about two sizes too small because, yep, he wants to show it off. We got a good look at him. You can see him on our site. There's pictures of him.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We were just talking about that. That story's been up for more than 24 hours, and it's still one of our top attention getters. So people are very interested in what they're going to look like.
Because as little of a thing as uniforms are, people get interested in that. And I want to ask you, what's your opinion on the new unis?
It means a whole lot to these fans who are listening right now because, you know, it's somewhat of a link to that glorious past of, yeah, of 87, 88, 90, 91. They're clean. They're crisp.
They're classic.
They are classic. Yeah. You almost have to do a double take to notice the difference in remembering what last year's uniforms look like. They're just, you know, they're not garish. And I thought, yeah, that there's a chance that they could have been garish. Seeing the uniforms that say Syracuse, Connecticut,
like Arizona.
Arizona, but who else? Well, Kentucky's.
Yeah,
you
Kentucky's
know those
are awful.
those tight form fitting tops and the long shorts that just about go down to their ankles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just over the top. I think we talked about earlier, Connecticut's the most egregious,
yeah,
at those, and these are not in those lines. These are like you said, classic.
Yeah,
and the gray is subtly classic.
Yeah. I think the gray might be my favorite one of what we saw yesterday.
You gonna get some shorts?
I might have to.
Yeah, I think so.
I like those grays. Those are pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty solid. Well, let's move it on. We were gonna.
Can't we keep talking hoops? It's such a happy time. I know it.
But we do have to mention there is a football game too because it is homecoming weekend, and UNLV Utah is Saturday night at 7:00 at Sam Boyd Stadium. And you know, let's just jump right into it. Is it gonna be UNLV Utah that we've seen the last few years, where UNLV competes with them, or is it gonna be more of the same of what we've seen the last 2-3 weeks? Because this one honestly looks like it could go either way. While UNLV has been wretched the last 2 weeks, Utah has been far from pretty on the road in 3 games this year.
They have, and you know what? As good as they look on offense, as far as on paper, they have a number 21 ranked offense in the country.
Yeah.
However, they have only scored 16 touchdowns. And among the top 45 offenses in the country, there's only one team that has fewer touchdowns. That's 14, and that's Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So, ironically, look what Hawaii did to UNLV,
yeah,
and they have the fewest amount of touchdowns. So I think I'm going to stick with our season-long pattern, and folks, take the over.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's one thing to look at. You know, a lot of people want to believe that UNLV's defense is going to show some improvement, but, you know, Terrence Kane is going to be the key for Utah, the junior college transfer quarterback. Really found his groove after they lost that game at Oregon. In 2 games since then, he's completed 76% of his passes. And he's cut down the turnovers, can run with it. The running game is a little iffy. Cimarron product, Eddie White is the starter now. They're very banged up behind him, so he's going to have to do a lot. But, you know, as far as the ones go right now for Utah, they're playing pretty darn well.
They are, and, you know, Kane is 14th in the in the country in total offense, about 289 yards a game. So, boy, they're going to have to put a couple spies on him. But, you know, I don't think I finished off my earlier statement about Utah's offense. You know, it looks like they've been efficient. They've been lacking. I think this is the right defense to maybe get them back on board. So
yeah.
I think they'll live up to that number 21 ranking. But, see, I think the problem for UNLV is going to be the defense, and I think Omar Clayton's going to have a world of trouble trying to pass against this defense because the Utes have the number one pass efficiency defense in the Mountain West Conference, and it's number 13 in the country. So those guys are tough to pass on, and in particular, defensive back Robert Johnson is a stickler. He's got four interceptions this season. He's tied for third in the country in that department. And the big deal was he had three last week at Colorado State. So
Yeah. They're
going to – Omar Clayton's going to have to be very careful passing around number 17.
And he's also going to have to watch his back because they have a decent pass rush too. And it's headed by another local product, Valley High product, Stevenson Sylvester. You know, this is a guy who last year – you know, this is a guy who very well could be playing in the NFL next year. Last year against Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, 7 tackles, 3 sacks, and a fumble recovery.
Yeah.
So, or a forced fumble, excuse me. So this is a guy. I mean, boy, you know, UNLV. You talk about not only has the defense been a problem in recent weeks, but the mistakes on offense, which were so uncharacteristic last year. They really have no choice. It's either cut down on one of those two things, or this is going to be very ugly.
I think it's going to be very ugly. I think last week is going to be, you know, just continues. You know, because you're going to see. Let's face it, there's going to be fewer fans out there. The atmosphere's, you know, it's a sinking ship.
Yeah.
And I see more of the same from last week. You know, does Utah get 60 points? Maybe not, but I bet they make it close. Utah to the over. Heck, it's Vegas.
I agree. And, you know, let's finish up on this one other question. Obviously, neither of us are going to pick UNLV to win this game this weekend. Next weekend is very interesting for the Rebels because they will be heading back on the road where they have the nation's current longest road conference game losing streak at 20 games. But they are playing New Mexico next week, who is on a bye this week and maybe one of the three or four worst teams in the FBS this season. I mean, does UNLV have it? Do you think they have a shot in Albuquerque next week? And New Mexico is going to be without its head coach, Mike Loxley, who's under a 10-day suspension without pay for the altercation with an assistant coach.
It's a coin flip's chance.
It really is.
You know, and we think the hot seat is hot under Mike Sanford right now.
Yeah.
It's just going to get hotter. And same thing with interim AD Jerry Kolosky and the president, Neil Smotrask. They all have got to be feeling a whole lot of pressure right now. The biggest thing I think we took from the BYU game is the fact that the hierarchy isn't really thinking about making a move until or unless this team is not bowl eligible.
Yeah.
So until it's apparent that they're not going to win 6 games, well, then they take the next step in thinking, whatever that is.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's just hot air or whatever it is. So, you know, until they lose their 7th game.
Yeah.
Then I guess that's what we're looking at. But, you know, we've discussed this too, and I think we've even talked about it on this podcast, that there's just too much uncertainty and too much unrest above Mike Sanford to think that there's something going to be done
midseason.
Yeah, I think it's just you're looking at a extreme situation in which that would happen because the bottom line, you know, this school is watching every penny, and there's no way they can afford to do a move before December. You know, they save $60,000 doing something in December to a school where the bottom line means so much. You know, that's probably ruling the day.
Absolutely. So be glad that basketball season's here, UNLV fans. And depending on your flavor of choice, First Look 2009, UNLV Utah, all of it, live coverage and post coverage leading up to it. During it, following it at LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. So for Rob Mish, this is Ryan Green from the Rebel Room. We will talk to you again over the weekend. Take care.